Hello, welcome to week 3 of our program about how to make money without a job. So how are you doing? Last week we talked about some kind of high-level mindset information that could be sometimes difficult to absorb, and it's really reframing things and taking it in and kind of learning that, especially at the end, the juxtaposition, understanding that just because you can't afford the luxury lifestyle that you may have accustomed yourself up to now, does not mean that you're going to be in poverty. That's a big one. So I hope that you had some time to sort of grapple with sort of the different extremes and the middle points. And if you have any questions, of course, just give a shout out. Happy to help. So this week, I am back actually with a really important prop. I'm going to be using some index cards to make sure that I remember to tell you all of the important points that I want to. And this week, we are going to be talking about money flow and the three ways of making money. So once you adapt your money and work mindset, now we can talk about money flow. So here's what's important in that. Money flow, the way I look at it, it is the cycle of earning money, money in, and spending money, money out, right? So there's this constant flow. When you have a corporate job, the money is quite reliable and dependable. So you might get paid the first of the month, you might get paid 4 times a month. You know, you're used to this concept of payday. And so when payday happens, you know you can pay your rent, or you can splurge on that pair of shoes that you wanted, you can go on that trip, pay off a credit card, whatever it is. So that's the cycle that you are used to living in. But so what happens is that outside corporate, money flow changes, right? So this means that money may not come on a specific day of the week or time of the month, and it may not come in the same amounts. So this is very important. This is where a lot of people feel anxiety, because it is kind of hard when you're used to getting, you know, $100 every Wednesday, and now all of a sudden you're getting no money for 3 Wednesdays, and, you know, $600 on the next Wednesday, and then $50 the one after, right? So it can induce some anxiety, understandably, to get used to this kind of revised flow of money. So it's important that you understand that the flow is still there. So there is still money flowing in, and there is still money flowing out. Now, when you initially have to adapt to a lower flow in or a changed inflow of money, you should also, which, you know, in this case, if you've lost your job, you may feel that you don't control that. You lost control of the money in that you were depending on and you thought was stable, right? The stability has been taken away. So what you can control is your money out. And this is really, really important. You must control the money out at this point. That is what makes this work. So some of you in the corporate job may have sort of gotten used to, like, not really keeping track of the money you're spending, because, you know, like, the money shows up next week, I spend some money, and then next week I can pay it off. Well, that may not work for you going forward. So you're going to have to actually track your money, and we're going to talk a lot more about this in week 5. And so you really control the shift of the money that you are spending, the stuff that you are buying. So it's really, really important that you take a look now, if you haven't looked before, at what you're spending, and get used to this idea of tracking, which, again, I'm going to give you a lot more information in a future lesson. I just want to make sure that each of these weeks of lessons is digestible so you can take the information in and build on it the following week. So money flow, right? So again, the flow of money, what I want you to take away from this point is that the money flow is still with you. It's still flowing in your life. Again, it's just flowing in different amounts and different times of the month or weeks or et cetera, or year, right? So it's just going to look different, but I hope that addresses some of the anxiety and hopefully removes some of the anxiety that you might feel worrying that, well, you know, where's money going to come from? And if it doesn't come every week, how am I going to do this? You will. It's just important to recognize that it just looks a bit different. Okay, now, the second part that I want to talk to you about are the three ways to make money, because it's pretty simple, and I want you to start taking this in. There are three main ways of making money, right? So, you can sell stuff that you have, you can save money, and you can earn money. So, sell it, save it, earn it. All three are very important in your strategy about how you're going to make money now without that corporate job. So for this week, I'm going to address the selling and the saving. And in week five, we're going to talk a lot more about the earning. So I want to build on the last lesson. I had you do an exercise where you looked at the things that you wanted to buy and why you wanted to buy them. So taking that a step further, it's important now to consider you don't actually need everything that you have. And hopefully when you looked at why you were buying stuff, you saw that when I say need, I don't want to detract from, well, let's just say when you're in a pandemic and, you know, there are things that you might buy that might make you feel a little bit better, a little bit more comfortable. I don't want to take away from any number of reasons that you do need something for comfort. But when it comes to survival and what you really need, you know, hopefully if you saw that, you know, time with your family is maybe more important than buying, you know, being in the book of the week club or whatever that might be for you. So, you know, as you kind of start looking at your stuff around you as actual cash, it's all cash that you're sitting on. Maybe start thinking about how some of the things that you have are actually not making you live longer. They are not helping you with nutrition. They are not helping you with health. And, you know, basic things that you do really need, they might not be helpful, or they may have served a purpose for you in the past and no longer do. So I want you to start thinking about the things that you don't need anymore. And take an inventory, building again on, you might take the list that you from last week and add it to this inventory list, but really look at what stuff do you have all around you in your home that maybe you could get rid of, that you could sell, that could actually be giving you money to put towards other things that right now you need more. Anything in your home or that you have in storage and haven't looked at in a really long time, haven't used in a really long time, is a potential target for being on this inventory list. And be really honest. And the weird thing is, so I at one point just had a home full of stuff and I couldn't get rid of it. And it just seemed to get worse and worse and worse. And, you know, I developed emotional attachments to so much stuff. And I hired an organizer at one point who was so helpful. And one of the things that she helped me reframe, and that's, I want to share this with you in case any of you need it, is especially if you have an emotional attachment to something, right? I had stuff, you know, in the back of the closet, or maybe I had a display unit, but like there was so much stuff in it that anything that was beyond the front layer just got no exposure. You didn't see it. You didn't know what it was. And so she gave me this idea that like everything, right, it has its own energy. It has its own, you know, it's a thing, right, that deserves to be cherished, that deserves to be seen and admired. And if I wasn't going to put, you know, all of that stuff in the front and make it be seen and cherished, why not give it the opportunity to be in someone else's home where it might be cherished? And I thought that was kind of lovely, so I just wanted to pass that on to you if you needed some encouragement to get rid of stuff. I will also tell you that with her help, I got rid of so much stuff, I couldn't believe it. And the more I got rid of, the more I wanted to get rid of, because it created more space. And it was just such a relief to let it go on many levels. Because also some of the emotional attachments you may have to your stuff may actually not be so healthy, right? It may be actually connecting you to bad memories or emotions and so forth. And it might be good to just let that go, right? Let that part of your life go, or that the person or the relationship or whatever, just let it go, so that you can, you know, create the space in your life literally to welcome in more of what you do want. And again, let go of what you don't want. Again, that was something else we looked at last week. What do you want? What are you tolerating? So some of that toleration and what you don't want may be actually attached to the stuff around you. And getting rid of that stuff could actually be really cathartic on an emotional level as well as a physical and financial one. So once you've got this list of inventory of stuff that you can sell, the next step is, well, how do you sell it? I will tell you, it's not always as simple as like, oh, woohoo, I have this list of stuff that I want to sell, yay. One thing that will be a little difficult is, of course, you may value it more than someone else, right? So from someone else's perspective, everything that you're going to sell is used. So it does have less value than when you bought it. So, you know, I remember I had a TV unit from IKEA. I had just bought it like a year or two before I wanted to sell it, and it was $600. And I got offers of $50, right? So, you know, that was really, it's really awful to think about like that degradation and like, wow, is it worth selling at a certain point? And that's for you to figure out, right? Is it worth selling? Is that $50 more valuable to you than keeping the item? Is it more valuable to you than if you have to potentially pay for the item to take up space in storage? So again, these are decisions that you will have to make. But then there's the question of, well, how do you sell it? And there are many different ways. So I want to give you a few different strategies on how to sell your stuff. So first, you're going to make that list, take that inventory list and, you know, clearly mark out what you have. You may even want to categorize it into, you know, furniture, electronics, just so you're clear on sort of, because somebody, when they contact you, may kind of say like, oh, I don't want your couch, but since you're getting rid of stuff, do you have any electronics that you're getting rid of? Right. And then you can easily sort of reference, do you? And what is it? So first thing you want to do, of course, is tell all of your friends and all of your family that you are getting rid of stuff. Do they know anyone that's looking for furniture, electronics, kitchen appliances, whatever it is, books and so forth? You are actually actively selling some of this stuff and looking for people that might want it. So that's number one. Facebook groups are really good. There are many groups. There could be expat groups in the city you live that maybe are, you know, have low furniture. There could be people in transition that need things but want to pay less for things. So that's part of what's happening in the pandemic too, right? Is if people have lost their jobs, they still need some stuff, but they want to pay less for it, right? So now you're giving them the opportunity to get something used, and instead of paying $600 for it, maybe they can pay $50 or $100 for it, right? So there's a lot of people out there that may be looking for just what you have, and some of them are going to be in random Facebook groups. You might contact organizations near you that are kind of, you know, there could be office, people need office supplies all the time. There may be schools, there may be churches, there may be all kinds of different groups that, again, because there may be a charity aspect, either they may want a donation or maybe you can work out, again, a lower, very low cost for them to take the stuff. So these are some other places that you might reach out to see if they might be willing to buy anything from you. You could obviously, if you have a yard, you could do a yard sale. Understanding, of course, during the pandemic, if there's lockdown and social distancing, you're going to have to work around that. It might be a virtual yard sale where you sort of film your items with a tag on it, and you kind of could like open up a bidding time when people can come into a Facebook group or some fashion like that where they can bid on the item, and you know, the first one to say they want it gets it. There are, you might post in neighborhood groups and apps. There are, I know in New York, I'm in like this neighbor app, which is probably available in, you know, your location as well. You should research what kind of apps are available for you to participate in and to list your stuff. And of course, look for community boards. So community boards could be if you are allowed to go into the supermarkets or churches and other things where you could post a card with the items that you are trying to sell and maybe put pictures of them and put up a quick website or a Facebook page or something with those items, then all of these are great ways to get out there and sell your stuff. And, you know, to be fair, selling your stuff does take some effort. It's not just like, oh, I made a list and I'm ready to get rid of it and poof, it's gone. You do need to do the work behind it to get people to buy it. But it is worth it and it is cash in your pocket and I highly recommend it. So the second way that you can make money is to save it. And within saving, I like to look at it as two different ways, right? So you can save money by spending less of it. And you can also save money by things like investing your money or getting discounts. So that's kind of two different ways of saving money, and both strategies are very important. When it comes to saving money, a thing that can be really helpful is to list out all of your nice-to-have expenses. So this is slightly different. Before, I was talking to you about the inventory that you have, the physical stuff that you have that you might not need. That's a nice-to-have, right? This is another nice-to-have, which usually comes in the form of monthly subscriptions. So fees for things like magazines, music subscriptions, cable television, wine of the month club, things like this. These are all nice to haves. They may get confused with need to haves during a time when you might be forced to stay indoors a lot and what are you gonna do? I get it, but these are all chewing up money. And these are areas where it's a really good idea to take note of every single subscription that you have right now. What are you spending? And write that down and see if you can eliminate some of them and maybe downgrade some of them. So say right now you have a cable deal with, like, you know, 3,000 channels, of which you probably only watch 20, you know, maybe you could downgrade that cable subscription to something cheaper. Maybe actually you're not even watching television anymore and you can just get rid of your cable TV payments altogether. If you have a cell phone and a home phone, do you need both? Maybe you have one and not the other. So there's a lot of different things that you can look at using differently. So consuming differently to lower your costs. The other part of saving money, right? So you could be investing money. And one of the things you can do, which is really helpful, is to put your money into a savings account that's hard to get to. So, you know, if you have money in a major bank, like, you know, like Citibank or, you know, TD Bank or something like that, you can just go with your ATM card, take money out, do your business, right? But then there's these online accounts where you could put some of your money and it takes a few days to get it, which means that when you're kind of like, oh, I kind of want that pair of shoes, but you don't have money in your main account and you know that you're going to have to wait 3 days to get it from the other account, you're just like, you kind of give up. So it's a really good way to moderate your spending because it's money that's harder to get to. And the longer you leave it there, the more it might grow in interest. Now, of course, interest rates vary and it may not make a ton of money, but still, hey, $20 here and there is still better than no bucks. So that's one thing you can do. The other great way to save money is when you shop on a regular basis, the things that you need, look, you know, first off, if you buy and if you really do consume a lot of something, a bulk discount is great, right? So, you know, you go to somewhere like Costco, for example, and sometimes you do have to research this because it's not always a better deal, but sometimes some of the stuff that you use a lot of is cheaper if you buy it in bulk, right? Makes sense. Sometimes, however, you know, supermarkets and other places love to do this neat trick where they're like, oh, four avocados for $2. So you'll buy four because your mind is like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm like, I don't know that I need four. I might only use two, but, you know, but I want to get this deal where they're only $2. The secret is that what they're actually saying is 50 cents each. So you could actually get one for 50 cents or two for a dollar or four for $2, right? So do the math when you see a deal, because, and if you don't know, go ask a store associate, like, oh, I see this is on sale for, you know, if I buy 10 of them, it's only $50. But, you know, if I only want one, is it, you know, whatever the fraction of $50 is, right? So ask that. The other thing is, it's always good to ask for discounts anywhere. Now, since I'm a traveler and I have been all over the world and I've been to all these markets where, you know, negotiating and bartering is a thing, I've just sort of adopted that for everywhere. So I will always ask if it's possible to get a slightly lower price for anything, because if you don't ask, you don't know. And there's a good likelihood that people are willing to work with you, especially during a pandemic. So ask the question and see if there's some agreement that you could come to where you could save the money by getting a discounted rate. Okay, so hopefully that, you know, that was a lot of information on money flow and how to save money. And I hope that the concepts made sense to you. Absorb that, work with your inventory list, get your selling lists together. Think about the things that you could be, that you actually might need in the next week to 3 weeks, that you might be able to ask for a discount on, right? So think about all that.